Well, good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be with you once again this cloudy Sunday morning, but it's still a glorious day. It's the Lord's Day, and it's really good to be with you. I want to start by reading a small portion of Scripture. It's in Hebrews. I think it's very apt. I read it quite often when we start normal church. So, Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Hallelujah. I always like to start my service with a passage like that. That word assembling, yes, it does mean to meet together, but you know what? It means so much more. Can anyone remember building Lego models or Meccano models? If you're old enough to remember, guys, you assemble things. That means you take things together and you build them up into something bigger and something better. And that's what we're doing when we meet at church, be it at Langbride, or be it in church wherever you are, or be it here on YouTube or Facebook or whatever. We're assembling together as church. We're building each other up. We're creating something that's bigger and something's better than just ourselves as individuals. So it's really good to see you this morning. So glad you could join us. We'll have our normal online service. I think this is our 9th or 10th week. I was trying to count this morning. I couldn't actually remember when we started going online like this from my home. So I think it's about our 9th or our 10th week. We'll have a message. I've got a message prepared, and I'm trusting that it'll bless you. We will receive an online offering. Thank you for everyone that is taking part in that now through the BACS transfers into our bank account. And we will take communion together. We'll finish by focusing on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will be assembling together. We'll be building each other up through the word and through communion. And we'll be sowing into the kingdom as well. So it's a real joy to be with you. I really enjoy my Sunday mornings. I'm still enjoying my preparation, hallelujah. It's blessing me, so I hope it'll bless you this morning. So let's pray over this word, and then we'll get straight in into Scripture and see what the Lord is saying to us this morning. So Father, I thank you that we're here, wherever we are, Father, in our homes, whatever part of the country or whatever part of the world we're in. I thank you that we are gathering together on this platform this morning. I thank you that we are gathering together to assemble each other, to build each other up, to encourage, edify and exhort. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to start by looking at your word. I thank you for your scripture, your literally breathed word, your truth. I thank you for these incorruptible seeds we're about to plant in our hearts, into the ground of our hearts. I thank you for those, Father. I thank you that they are perfect. I thank you that they are designed to grow and produce fruit. And I thank you that you put in place a process for that growth. So thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. I speak our understanding and in line with your word. Understanding so that these seeds are not stolen by the enemy. Understanding so that they may grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. So I am really excited about the message this morning. I've been meditating on it all week since we had that wonderful conference last Sunday with Brother Paul. If you haven't seen that yet, go onto the YouTube channel that this is on and watch some awesome teaching from Brother Paul. And I was deeply impacted by that last weekend, particularly taken by a number of comments that Paul made. And as soon as he made them, my mind would start producing mind maps and I was getting sermons ready. And this came directly from one of those. So I'm moving away from the series that I've been teaching on recently, the I Ams. I will come back to that. But I want to move away from that this week and look at a piece of typology that Paul spoke to us about last week. I think it was the Saturday that he spoke about this. And it's a piece of typology that I've taught on before. It's not new, folks. There's nothing new under the sun, as the word says. It's not new typology, but I've got a deeper revelation of it, and a new revelation, a kind of different revelation, different piece of typology that's new to me. And I'm really excited to share it with you. And I hope that if you grasp this, it will be a real, real encouragement to you. So I want to talk this morning about Noah. And I want to see what we can learn from Noah in our lives. You might think, well, Vic, I'm not going to go into an ark. No, you're not. But what we see in Noah is some wonderful typology, some wonderful pictures about the Lord Jesus Christ and about our life with Christ. So I want to focus on that this morning. Now, I'm not going to go into the account. You all know what happened to Noah and his family and the animals and the ark. The Lord directed him to build the ark. He built it, got his family in, got the animals in. As mankind was destroyed and removed from the face of the earth. It rained, water came up from the ground as well, and we know that the earth was flooded. And we read about what went on in the earth. So I'm hopefully going to share my screen here and have the scriptures for you. Hallelujah. So let's look at Genesis 7, 21-23. And it says, "And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was on dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Hallelujah. Some terrible scriptures in a way. Real sobering scriptures there. Everything died. All that had breath died. Nothing with life survived. Everything perished and everything was lost. Except those that were in the ark. Of all mankind, only Noah and his family lived. That's what verse 23 says, isn't it? Noah and his family that were in the ark, the only people that survived, the only safe place on earth at that point in time was in the ark. Safe from the flood, safe from the destruction, safe from death. See, there was only two options at that time. Only two options for mankind at that point, at that point in history. You could be in the world, or you could be in the ark. One led to death and destruction, and one led to life. And we know, or we possibly know, that this is a wonderful piece of typology. This is a picture of Jesus. This is a picture of being in Christ. You see, today, folks, there are still only two options for people alive today. Two options. You can accept or you can reject Christ. You can be in and of the world and under the rule of the enemy, or you can be in Christ and under and full of his righteousness. And one leads to death and destruction, and one leads to life. Amen. John 3:15-16 says this, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Clear choice here. Choose Christ and you choose life. Reject Christ and you choose to perish. Being in the world, being of the world, sorry, leads to death and leads to destruction. But if you're in Jesus, that leads to everlasting life. And my friends, this choice is ours. God has given the way. God has made the way for everyone to come to repentance, for everyone to see that they've fallen short of his glory. to see that they need a saviour, and he's provided that saviour. God has made a way for every man to come to repentance and choose life, but it is man's choice. There is no third way, guys. It's one or the other. It's an either or decision. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You see in that verse as well, friends, there's no middle ground. There's no road that goes somewhere else. It either goes to destruction or it goes to life. You can be in and of the world, or you can be in Christ. The being in the world without Jesus leads to destruction, but being with Jesus leads to life. I've said that a couple of times now. In Christ, whether you're in Christ or not in Christ, is the simple choice. You choose to be in Christ or not in Christ, life or death. And throughout the New Covenant, we see this term in Christ. In the New Covenant epistles, we see these terms in Christ, through Christ. And that explains what this life brings. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my all-time favourite passages of Scripture, ending with the righteousness verse that you guys all know about. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This term in Christ simply means to be a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, a born-again believer, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call yourself, that is what this term means. And this verse tells us it's all about being new in him. Everything being made new. Now we know this is specifically talking about our born again spirit. That's what was created new when we were born again. But we can also read this verse now in this context of the typology of Noah and of being in the ark. Think about this. What did Noah leave to go into the ark? And then what did he come out into when he left the ark? Well, when he went in, he left a world of death. He left a world of destruction, didn't he? He left a world where there was no hope. We saw that in the verses. Anything that had breath died unless they were in the ark. If you were out of the ark, you had no hope of survival. No hope of an abundant life. Just no hope of life. Full stop. And then he went into the ark. And then obviously he came out of the ark. We know that. And this is my new revelation this week. And it came from something Paul said in the conference last Saturday. This has been really getting me excited. See, Noah came out of the ark into a different world. A new world, if you like. A new world with endless possibilities. The earth had been cleaned or cleansed of all corruption. The old temptations were gone. It was like Noah had a clean canvas on which he could paint a new life for himself, a new life for his family, and you know what, guys? A new life for mankind. There were possibilities there that he had not had before because of all the corruption and the other people that were there ruining things. He had this whole new world open to him that he could create a new life for himself and his family. He could create any type of life that he wanted. There was such potential there when Noah and his family came out of that ark. And God told him and his family to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But you know what? It was left up to Noah and his family how to do that. God had provided everything they need, but it was up to them to put things into place. They had to do it their way. They would choose what to do. Now, quite soon, we see Noah didn't get it quite right. We see him in that, in drunkenness, and we see the episode with his sons and the cover and the tent. And we see the world slipping back into its old way of going into that bad state. You see the Tower of Babel, for instance, just on the, in the next chapter of Genesis. We see the world slipping back into that pre-flood corruption. But because of the promises that God made, he wasn't going to destroy it again. So Noah made mistakes. But the potential had been there for him to create this new life, this a wonderful life with huge potential that was there. So let's bring that now up to date. Let's take this piece of typology and see what we can learn in our lives. What is it saying to us this morning? Well, I'm hoping and praying that if you're listening, you are in Christ. You've been saved, you're born again. But after you saved, after that salvation, what did you do? Well, we have to come back out into the world. We have to come back into the world again. We have to continue with our lives. We have to carry on our lives. We do not live in isolation unless you become a hermit or a monk or a nun or whatever and go into some institution and live in isolation. You're going to have to come out into this world again. But we can come into this world but not be of it. We can be in the world, but not of it. It's like we went into the ark for salvation, and we are now out in a different world, just like Noah was. Here's the revelation I had to see. So just like when Noah stepped out of the ark into this new world and could create something for himself in this new world, something new, so can we. We have the power, we have the authority through being in Christ to create a new world, to create a new life, to create something better, to create something that we want, to contribute, to make a difference. We have the power and the authority to do that. You see, when our born-again spirit when we were born again, our born-again spirit was created perfect, wasn't it? Let me try and open this slide again. Ephesians 4:23-24 says, "And be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." That spirit man, that new part of you it's talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that new you, everything that's new and all the old's gone, that's your born-again spirit. It was created perfect. It was created righteous and true holiness, created after God. It is just like him, perfect, righteous, truly holy. And that spirit has the potential to influence the rest of our lives, the rest of our body, our mind, our spirit, sorry, our soul, our mind, will and emotions. Sorry, I'm getting really excited, getting carried away. That new spirit has the potential to influence our soul, which is our mind, will and emotions, and influence our body. It has the potential to influence and change the rest of our lives and the lives of those around us and the world around us. Change our life for the better. Now, when we were saved, we can't, of course, be like Noah. We make mistakes. We slip back into an old life. And a lot of us did that. After that initial period, we went back into the old ways. I have to hold my hand up to that. A lot of us did that. Maybe some of us are still there in some parts of our lives. But we did not have to. We do not have to. You see, the potential for that new life, even if we've made mistakes, even if we're still making mistakes right now, even if we are, even if we have made mistakes, even if we are making mistakes, it doesn't really matter because that potential to change is still there. It's never gone away. Doesn't matter how much you've ruined your life or made mistakes after salvation, that potential for change is still there. Why? Because that born-again spirit is still there and it's never left you and it never will leave you. We have the potential for a new life, a different life. It's there, it's always been there, and it's never going to go away. Hallelujah. That's the good news about the new covenant. It's somewhat like a dormant seed. just sitting there waiting to grow, always there. The potential never leaves us. Ephesians 1:13 puts it this way, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you were saved, my friends, in whom also after that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Your spirit was created righteous and truly holy, and then it was sealed. Hallelujah. At salvation, that new, that perfect spirit was created and sealed, and it will never be corrupted. It doesn't matter what we do in the flesh, it will never be corrupted. That potential is always there, just ready to be made manifest. So how do you let it influence you? Well, you renew your mind in order to be transformed. A verse we all know, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. This is part of the spiritual laws that the Lord has put in place for all of us to improve our lives, to be transformed, to improve our lives for the better, to improve the lives of those around us for the better, to influence our family, our friends, our work colleagues, whoever. We can be transformed. We can be changed for the better. We can change our lives, change our physical health, change our mental health, change our relationships, our businesses, our jobs, our school performance, our resources. They can all be improved. We can create the life we want, the life the Lord wants us to have, the life that he's provided for us through the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He wants you to live in abundance and health. John 10:10 tells us that, and 3 John 2 tells us that. He wants us to choose life and not death. He wants us to be overtaken with blessings, Deuteronomy 28. And he has provided this for all of us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you make those things manifest in your life through renewing your mind to the truths in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now that's one of the spiritual laws, the spiritual principles that the Lord has put in place. And he's put other ones there as well. You know I'm a great believer in biblical principles and a great believer in the fact that science and psychology and the other stuff, other things, are catching up with the Bible in this. And you know two of the fundamental principles that I use in my life and try and encourage you to use in your life is the way we use our thoughts and the way we use our words. Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think, that's the way we'll be. Our deepest innermost thoughts, our core thoughts direct who we are. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say has creative power. We can speak bad over our lives, bad over other people's lives. We can speak good over our lives. We can speak good over other people's lives. Death and life. Not death and life and neutrality. Death and life. Everything we say is imparting death or imparting life. Our thought life, our speech life are so important for the type of life that we lead. They directly impact on the quality or the lack of quality in our lives. Now, don't get upset at me for saying that. I'm just stating a fact. I'm just stating what the Bible says. That's not me saying this. That's the Word of God. What we think, what we say, what we believe directs the paths of our lives. In that sense, we create the lives that we're living. We create the way our lives go. Yes, I get it. We may not be doing it consciously. We may not be sitting there thinking, well, Lord, I think I'm going to have a really horrible day today. Hopefully none of us do that. But some of the ways that we think, some of the things we say, the negativity just builds up and it directs our lives that way. So if it's about what we think, what we say, what we believe, we can change those. Hallelujah. We can change our lives. We can create new, we can create different lives if we understand this and behave accordingly. Know the scriptural laws that are involved and live by them. Noah could have created something so much better than he did, but he chose an error. And that's what we do sometimes. We continually choose every day, hundreds if not thousands of times a day. We decide what to think, what to say, what to believe. We decide whether to increase our knowledge about him who has called us to glory and virtue. We decide whether we want to study diligently. We decide whether we want to rightly divide the word of truth or not. We choose, we decide, and it's about time we took full responsibility in this area. We have the power within and the authority from above to change our lives and create new lives, better lives, for ourselves and for our families, for our friends and for those that we have within our sphere of influence. Because in Christ we have the perfect Spirit, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. With that in us, we have nothing. There is nothing that would be impossible for us to do if we put our minds to it, if we thought about it, if we spoke it out, and if we truly believed it. We can achieve what we want. We can change what we want. We can improve. Yes, it may be gradual and it may be over time, but guys, it will come because the word says it will. The word describes the process or the spiritual laws that are in place. And yes, like Noah, we have all failed in some way or another. Maybe we're all failing at something just now and we're probably going to fail at something in the future. But that potential is still there. It's always there. It's sealed and it will never go away. Hallelujah. It can never leave us. That potential for change will never disappear. We just need to start the process and let it out. Amen. Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's like a seed within us. We need to water it. We need to feed it. We need to look after it. Get rid of the rocks, get rid of the weeds. Amen. This is not new teaching, guys, but it's a new revelation for me about Noah coming out of the ark and having huge potential to change the world he has in front of him, to create a new world, to create a different world. And we have that power in our lives right now. We can create through thoughts and words, through truth, through knowledge, through understanding. You see, we are in Christ. We have this power within us. We have this authority from above to command and create with our words. If we have the appropriate thoughts and belief systems behind that. See, if we get our thoughts, our words, our beliefs, our understanding, all get all of those in line and get them in line with the word of God, boom. Power, my friend. I've seen this in some areas of my life. Have to be honest, I'm not seeing it in others. What's the problem? Well, I know it's not God holding things back from me. For me, I probably think it's a lack of understanding or my thoughts not in line with what I'm saying. Double-mindedness. It's not a good thing. Noah went into the ark from a corrupt world and he was saved. Then he can back out into this new world with a potential to create a new world and a different world and a better world. We are like that. We went from a world of sin and corruption and death and destruction with no hope, just a promise of perishing. And then we went into Christ. We had faith in Christ. We were born again. We became a believer, whatever you want to say. We became a Christian. We were in Christ. And of course we come back into this world, this physical world, but we come back with the potential to create whatever world we want, to improve whatever situation you want to improve, to make better any relationship you want better, to improve in your business, in your career, in your schooling, to improve your health. We have the opportunity to be transformed in any and every area of our life because of the power that's within us and the authority from above. Hallelujah. I want to finish by sharing a quote with you. And it's a very powerful statement. I've shared this in church before. I want to share it again. You don't normally hear me quoting Dolly Parton in a sermon. But Dolly said this. Look at the screen and see what she's saying. If you don't like the road you're walking, start paving another one. I just love that. That is deep theology. That's summing up exactly what I've been talking about this morning, about passages in Proverbs, passages in Romans. If you don't like the road you're walking, start paving another one. You have the power, you have the authority to create the road you want to walk upon in this life. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you, start creating this morning. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you for this message. I thank you for these seeds that we've just planted. I thank you for the wonderful truth that we have the power and the authority to create a new life, to create a new world for ourselves and for those around us in our sphere of influence. Thank you so much for these spiritual principles that you've put in place, Father. I just speak out that every single one of us will have a deeper understanding of those principles this morning. A deeper understanding of how our thoughts, our words, our beliefs, our understanding can impact on our lives and has the real potential to change things for the good. I thank you for the process of transformation, Father. I thank you for what you have given us, your word for us to study and understand to renew our minds. We thank you for that process, Father. And I speak out that everyone is really blessed by that message and encouraged this morning, encouraged to start creating you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that encouraged you as much as it encouraged me. I hope it blessed you as much as it blessed me. You could probably see during the message there, I was getting a little bit carried away. This is so powerful, guys. This has got real potential to change our lives for the better. You know, especially think about our children. You know, just imagine what they can do if they grasp this truth. I mean, I think we can do lots. I mean, I'm early 30s, I was trying to say. I'm a mid-30s, I'm a 50s, mid-50s, early 50s. I'm going to say early 50s. I've got quite a while yet on this world to make a real impact by using these principles. But think about what our kids can do and our grandchildren can do if they grasp this principle now, all the years they've got ahead of them. That is awesome. So I hope it encouraged. Hope it encouraged you as much as it encouraged me. Hallelujah. I'm going to, in faith, receive an offering now. I want to say thank you once again to everyone that's been giving online. I'm sorry if you haven't had a thank you email yet, but I only get the statement in once a month. I can't check online, so I'll be doing that again very shortly. But thank you so much for those that are giving into the kingdom and sowing at this difficult time. We still have commitments to meet, especially in India and some of the ministries and charities that we're supporting here in the UK. So I would encourage you to keep sowing into the kingdom. So Father, I thank you for this offering we are receiving in faith right now. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters who are giving through the internet into our bank account. Thank you for all those brothers and sisters that are storing up their offering in cash at home. Hallelujah. I thank you for these cheerful givers, Father. I thank you for the principle of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. Hallelujah. I thank you for all that's been given this morning, that will be given. I thank you that it will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. It seems really strange praying and receiving an offering when I'm just sitting here by myself. But we're receiving it in faith. Hallelujah. So thank you. And bless you. Now let's finish by taking communion together. I've been really blessed recently. We've been taking communion. I haven't actually been doing it every day now, but a few days off, occasional days off. But most days we're meeting online through Zoom to take communion together. And it's been wonderful to hear some other people share. But I've been really blessed by preparing most days for communion. And the last few days I've been really blessed by focusing on things that we remember about Jesus. You'll know 1 Corinthians 11, 24-25 talks about doing this in remembrance of me. We're doing it to remember Jesus. And the last few days in online communion, I've been focusing on this word relationship, remembering about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll know that Jesus came to bring reconciliation from God, to bring mankind and God back into relationship, to restore that relationship, to restart that relationship that was lost at the fall. And Jesus shows us the type of relationship we can have with him and with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, through his actions in the gospel. Remember, if we look to Jesus, we can see the Father. Jesus is the express image of the Father. So we look at Jesus in the gospels and we see him being in relationship with people, and we see him showing mercy, we see him showing love, compassion, we see him teaching, we see him giving provision. But what I've been speaking about the last few days, and I just want to share quickly again this morning, is this picture of Jesus and relationship that we get from John 4, where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. I think it's one of the most wonderful, wonderfully compassionate, merciful encounters in the whole of Scriptures, that along with the woman taken in adultery. But I just love John 4:4, and it says, and he, I was talking about Jesus, and he must needs go through Samaria. That's one of my favourite passages, my favourite scriptures now, because it's just so descriptive of Jesus Christ, who he is and his true nature, and therefore we can translate that into the true nature of God. It says he needs go to Samaria. Well, actually, if we think about it geographically and think about it culturally, he didn't. He actually shouldn't have been there. He didn't have to go through Samaria to get where he needed to go. It was taking him a longer route. And culturally, he shouldn't have even been there. A good Jewish boy, he shouldn't have been anywhere near Samaria. He shouldn't have gone through. He shouldn't have been talking to any Samaritan. Just, it wasn't the damn thing. Shouldn't have been talking to a woman, let alone a Samaritan. But the word says he had to go there. And he must needs go through Samaria, is what the word says. Why? Because he needed to meet that woman. He needed to come and meet her and bring her into relationship with him. He needed to share himself with her, to come into relationship. This poor woman who had a terrible history of bad relationships with men, still having bad relationships. She was coming later for the water because she would have been in such bad relationship with the other women. So she just wasn't doing well in relationships. But Jesus needed to go through Samaria to meet this woman and to bring her into a relationship with him, to give her the best relationship that she could ever have, the relationship that was going to give her life and give her life in abundance. And we can have that type of relationship as well, guys, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He came to reconcile us to God the Father. And we can be in Christ now. We can have that relationship. And it's all because of the finished work. So I want us to remember that this morning as we're taking communion, that we can have relationship, that we are in relationship. We can have a better relationship with our Saviour, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He made that possible. So Father, I thank you for this symbol of the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, what Jesus went through on that scourging post in the garden and on that cross. Beaten for us, scourged for us. Our sin and sickness upon his body. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, that pleased you to bruise Jesus on our behalf. Oh, so powerful. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Father, we thank you for the symbol of his shed blood, the blood that brought reconciliation for mankind, provided the way for man to restore and restart that relationship with you, Father. We thank you for the forgiveness that flowed at the cross to allow that reconciliation. And thank you because of that reconciliation and that forgiveness. Every man has had the way made to choose to come into life, to be saved and to be made righteous, to be given that potential of the ability to create a new life, new world. Hallelujah. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you so much for Jesus, for his amazing finished work. Thank you for all that he did for us as he went to the cross, to the grave. Thank you for his resurrection and his ascension. Thank you he's now seated at your right hand, Father. Thank you that his work is finished. Hallelujah. Thank you for all that we have within us, the power that we have within us. Thank you for the authority that you've given us from above, Father, to manifest that perfect born-again spirit in our lives. So we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for joining me today, folks. It's been a pleasure to be able to share with you, to bring you the word, to bring you communion. Thank you for joining us. Please join us through the week at MGF, if you wish. We have various meetings during the week. We have communions most days, and we have Bible study on a Thursday. We're going to be joining along with hundreds of other people this weekend on Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at the online Grace and Faith Conference from Andrew Womack Ministries. So that's going to be a blessing. I would encourage you to join that as well. But thank you for joining this morning. It's been lovely to see you. I'll see you next Sunday if I don't see you through the week, but hopefully I'll see you Monday or Tuesday or one other day. So be blessed this week and be a blessing. So goodbye. God bless.